You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. I was working on something else, a story about Dwight Howard's offensive rebounding. You can find that at NBC Sports Today. And I came across in my search on something else for that of an interview with Stan Van Gundy, just a standard pregame interview back in January. John Luer was banged up, and there were some questions about when he would return to the lineup, how much practice time he needed before he could play, how everything would ramp up. And here's what Van Gundy said. I find it very interesting given what we've been discussing lately.
Well, man, I don't know. I mean, you have to ask some medical people. Again, I mean, I don't get involved in that stuff. I mean, you know, I don't make any of those decisions, whether a guy should practice, not practice, give him a day off, don't give him a day off. I don't make any of those decisions. My medical knowledge is relatively limited, and I don't get involved in that at all. I mean, when they tell me a guy can practice, he practices. When they tell me a guy needs time off, he gets time off. When they tell me he can play, he plays. And when they tell me he can't play, he doesn't play.
Is that something that you make a point not to get involved? Like, just
always have. I've never been involved in that stuff. I mean, I don't know anything. I mean, you know, so, you know, why would I be involved in that? I don't know a damn thing about what's best and how to bring him back off an injury and what he should be doing. I mean, we hire people who can do that. And if he does, if those people don't know more than I do, then we're in a hell of a lot of trouble.
Yep, that's right. We're going back to our old favorite topic, Reggie Jackson. Here's how Van Gundy now described why Reggie Jackson is sitting.
It has strictly been my call, yes, all the way.
Reggie Jackson has not played in the Pistons' last two games. He's not going to play against the Nets tonight. I'm feeling only more certain in my prediction that he won't play again for the Pistons this season. They'll shut him down for the rest of the year. But it's quite interesting, that difference. On one hand, earlier in the year, Van Gundy said he went out of his way not to be involved in these type of decisions, that he left it up completely to the medical personnel. On this one, he says it's completely him. Talking about how Reggie Jackson has only been at about 80%, hasn't quite been right, sees things he wants to do, usually can do, and can no longer do. And now it's completely on Stan Van Gundy? I mean, listen to those first comments about how much trouble the Pistons would be in if it fell to Van Gundy to make these decisions. And now he's making them. This again hints that there's something bigger going on here. Maybe Van Gundy changed his philosophy. Maybe he realized, hey, I need to take a bigger role into this. I'm the team president. I'm the coach. I can't just defer this decision. I need to be more involved. Maybe this is a rare case that had some unforeseen aspects that Van Gundy didn't count on back in January that he'd never faced before. But maybe there's something else to it. Maybe Van Gundy doesn't have the same trust in his training staff that he did in January. Reggie Jackson, after the last game, talked about how, hey, he passed every test he needed to pass, that there were certain tests he needed to pass to get back on the court. He passed them all. And so therefore, he believed that he could go and was going to do everything he could to play. But he also said at times when he's been out on the court, he's felt like a shell of himself. That defenders can come out of nowhere, that just things are not moving as quickly for him in relation to everybody else. Was he cleared too soon? Was he cleared at the right time? His confidence isn't there? There's just so many questions about why Van Gundy took this one under his arms, but refused to for anything else. Where Van Gundy injected himself this one time after saying he would never do that. It's just strange. It's very strange. And it, like a lot of aspects of this with Reggie Jackson, just keeps hinting at there's something more to this, that we're not getting the full story. Because for so long this season, Van Gundy insisted everything was fine, that there were no problems with Reggie Jackson's knees, that it might take him some time to acclimate, that Stan Van Gundy couldn't figure out necessarily what was going wrong. But anytime a reporter asked about the injury and whether there were lingering effects, Van Gundy pretty much shot that down, insisted everything was fine. And now Reggie Jackson can't even play. It'd be one thing to say, okay, he belongs behind Ish Smith. That with whatever's going wrong with Reggie Jackson physically, if all that is physically and the mental related parts, but only mental related to the physical injury, if that's all it is, if this all stems from his knee injury, and Reggie Jackson's only 80%, maybe an 80% Reggie Jackson should be Ish Smith's backup. That Ish Smith right now at this moment is more equipped to play a majority of the minutes and therefore should start. So he's spreading his 30 so or so minutes out over 48 minutes instead of jamming those into just 39 minutes of game time. That makes a lot of sense. It's been something a lot of people have circled for a while as a possibility. And the Pistons tried that. They didn't win with that, but they weren't winning in a number of other ways. I'm not in a rush to assume the Pistons didn't win because they were starting Ish Smith and bringing Reggie Jackson off the bench. But now Reggie Jackson can't even play at all. He's not good enough to be the backup over Beno Udrih. Beno Udrih right now is better in these 18 or so minutes per game than Reggie Jackson would be. I mean, maybe, but that's hard to believe, especially after all the insistences all season from Stan Van Gundy that Reggie Jackson was fine. Something is weird here, it seems. Maybe this is just Van Gundy overreacting, that there's nothing nefarious going on behind the scenes. This is just a strange calculation by Stan Van Gundy. This decision is being made by humans who admittedly are not medical experts. This is why Van Gundy doesn't usually make this decision, but it's been a frustrating year for him. It's been a frustrating year for everybody, and it's been particularly frustrating for Van Gundy to talk about Reggie Jackson. You can hear him on yesterday's podcast sort of get upset about a question about Reggie Jackson that I asked him after the game, that he's just so sick and tired of talking about Reggie Jackson. But Reggie Jackson is so important to this team. The point guard position is so important to this team. It's dictated a lot of why the Pistons have taken a step back this year and why in the rare times they've looked pretty good, why they've looked pretty good. So much of the season has swung on Reggie Jackson. So of course it's going to be a topic of conversation by us, by the coaches, by the players. It's important to this team. Reggie Jackson is the single biggest variable on this team and has been throughout the year. So it's going to come up. So maybe this is just Van Gundy overreacting to too much Reggie Jackson talk, being tired of it, being too close to it, unable to make that rational decision to let the medical personnel handle it like he did earlier in the year. Again, I don't know. This is all just very, very weird. Okay, shifting gears a little bit. The last two-minute report came out for the Pistons' loss to the Heat, one-point loss where Hassan Whiteside got the game-winning tip-in just before the buzzer. And some Pistons fans are a little up in arms because the NBA ruled that the Heat got away with two loose ball fouls on that final possession while going for the rebound, one by Whiteside and one by Rodney Magruder. That maybe without those loose ball fouls, the Pistons would have won. It certainly seems if you isolate that, the Pistons probably would have. It would have ended Miami's possession. Just a few seconds left. Pistons would have been up one. So the Pistons probably would have won if either one of those calls had been correct. However, and this is a big however, if you choose to care about things like that, you also have to care about the other calls in the two-minute report. And the NBA said Aaron Baines sent an illegal screen to free Ish Smith for the Pistons' final basket. Ish Smith got an open jumper because of an Aaron Baines illegal screen. That would have been a turnover. So on the most basic level, on the calls of consequence that were incorrect, the Pistons got 2 points out of it, the Heat got 2 points out of it. That's a wash. The Pistons didn't get screwed by the referees in the final 2 minutes, according to the NBA's last two-minute report. If you choose only to look at the final possession, you're being intellectually dishonest. On top of that, I'm not even convinced it's a wash. I think the miscalls favored the Pistons only because these miscalls are not all created equal. Even though they both led to 2 points, the Heat down one in the final seconds on their last possession, they were playing with a desperation where they knew they had to get that rebound or they were going to lose, no matter what. So you put them in that position, Yeah, of course they're going to try and get away with some loose ball fouls because they're in a desperate position that they only got into in part because Aaron Baines got away with an illegal screen to get the Pistons a jumper for Ish Smith. So if the Pistons hadn't made that jumper, one, we don't know how the game would have played out from there. But maybe the Heat are never in that desperate position. Maybe they're already winning in those final few seconds and don't need to go all out for an offensive rebound. So I am not objecting to the officiating down the stretch, at least in regards to that it cost the Pistons a win. Don't just look at the final play. You have to look at the entire two-minute report if you're going to look at it. If you don't care, if you just think, hey, doesn't matter, the game's over, nothing's going to change anyway, that's fine too. But if you're the type of person who's going to look at the two-minute report, you can't just pick and choose which missed calls to pay attention to. If you think these missed calls are interesting and curious how the game would have played out, you have to look at all of them. And in that way, I don't think the officiating down the stretch tilted this game toward the Heat. The loss was obviously huge, and I see why you want to pick it apart and look for anything, because it probably will keep the Pistons out of the playoffs. Pistons are in deep trouble. Not mathematically eliminated, but down to single-digit percentage chance to get to the postseason. The Pistons have to take care of business themselves and hope other teams go cold. It's asking a lot, but the part the Pistons control starts tonight with beating the Nets at home. Pistons have been lousy lately, including losing to the Nets. Don't have a ton of expectations. The Pistons, I don't know if they completely have mailed in the season these last 8 or 9 games, but if they haven't, maybe they do now. I'm not convinced this team's going to come out ready to play, but the Nets are also bad. Maybe the Pistons still win this. Wouldn't be surprised either way. We'll talk more about this game, more about the Pistons season. Hopefully maybe have some answers about why Stan Van Gundy seemingly changed his approach with handling injuries. We'll be back tomorrow on Locked On Pistons. You can follow on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.